suggested that I begin a survey preaching like I did one time before, and I think I will see if you might give me some feedback. I'd like for us to start out on Sunday night with the New Testament, take a chapter a day and try to read it or look at it. Some of you cannot read the whole chapter. Some may only be able to read the headlines from your Bible or what tells you about the chapter. But noticing each chapter of the New Testament, and then on Sunday night I would pick lessons, one from each chapter would be out, hope for that, and just cover 7 lessons. Of course, 7 chapters would be quite a lot. But if you look at the board tonight, if I can cover this board tonight, we could cover a lot of chapters in one night. But I've never tried to preach a sermon like this, and I've tried to preach all kinds of sermons. But as I looked around, and I got up a sermon on Zephaniah, and it was a very good sermon. I'm still going to preach it. But then I got to thinking, you know, there's things that just keep going on in my mind. I'm not a politician at all, but I tell you one thing. I will be glad when this race is over. It worries me to death to listen to what is said by people who are supposed to know about what's going on and then comment on it. And I think of that. And I think of all that I've got on the board illustrates Psalms 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. If I understand correctly, that is an unconditional promise from God. That all the wicked shall be turned into hell, and also all the nations that forget God. I'm so proud of the fact that I was born in the United States. I'm so proud of the fact that I was born in Madison, Tennessee, in a house, and that I grew up in the garden spot of the world, Jekyll Island, Tennessee. And I went and later principal of the most unusual school that ever was, Beach Elementary School. I had a picture at one time of Beach High School, which went back to the year 1908, I think it was. And they showed a great big bunch of children in front of the old Beach Wood building. What intrigued me about that picture was that in that whole picture, there wasn't a single student that had a shoe on. They were all barefooted. And I've often wondered about that and what that meant. But I think that I believe you would probably think, we've had a blessed life. Most people don't have running water. Most people in the world, more than the majority, does not have electricity. Most people don't have enough food ahead to last a week. To beat all of that, most people don't know anything about the Word of God. Less than 2% have ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached in its simplicity. That's the estimates that I get of the world's population. We have been blessed indeed. And all nations that forget God, and this doesn't mean the ones that just hadn't been taught. The Bible is very clear. Jesus Christ is coming back to take vengeance on them, all them that obey not and know not. You read that very plainly in 1 Thessalonians 1:5-8. And so we have been truly blessed. And here I am wasting what little time I got. But anyway, I have begun this, and the dates that you see there, the dates, as I began to study this, the dates are from the best guess we got. But if you can learn so much, and if you've got your Bibles, I'm just going to go through this breezing and try to point out to you some of the things that you might not have thought about. My only hope in this is not that you'll learn a lot about these prophets, but that you'll be intrigued by something you hear and say, I'd like to read a little bit about that. I don't recommend that you try to conquer the prophets. I recommend that you pick out passages that will help you and you conquer those passages. And I think what we've tried to do, as we've tried to teach, is to try to teach, and what you need to do is to understand the book of Daniel from chapter 1 through chapter 12. That's not the way to study the book of Daniel. Study the book of Daniel, chapter 1, you can understand it. Chapter 2 is not much of a problem. Chapter 1 through 6 is a picture of the world history. Chapter 7 to 12 is anybody's guess. So, and when you get that figured out, you come and let me know. And I could go to others like that. But anyway, here's Ezekiel. And if you see something you like, mark a little bit around that and look at it sometime. I'm reading Ezekiel 16:44, best as I know, about 600 years before Christ. And the Bible says, "Behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters which loatheth their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite, and your elder sister is Samaria, and she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if that were a very little thing, thou hast corrupted more than all in all their ways. As I live, saith the Lord, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters." Do you find that intriguing? I do. Israel was told, and God said, I'm bringing judgment upon Israel because they've done worse than the nations that were heathen. Now, at the end of this, I've got a point that I want to make about the church. It is my contention that the church is about to do worse than the denominations. And I hope I have some time to try to explain that. I'm talking about a certain element of the church, not you. In my estimation, and I say this very humbly and not trying to butter none of you up, because none of this crew's got much money. You ain't got many powerful friends. You ain't got much political power. You're not going to be able to swing this election. But you have a soul, and you have a lot of spiritual knowledge, and we have a lot of responsibility to the Lord's church resting right in within these four walls, in my estimation. And I hope you'll think about it. And I hope this lesson will help you think about it. And so that's what we notice here. And then we read from Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter. And I pick up here with verse 27. "Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravaging the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar." They stuck the walls together with untempered mortar. Did you ever put a wall up with untempered mortar? It'll fall down the first dog that runs against it. "The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." If God had just had one man, but he could find none. I wonder if we're coming to that. Now go with me to Daniel, and I could spend weeks with Daniel. I know you could too. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. And the story of Daniel, every young man ought to know. 10,000 young people carried to Babylon captive. Daniel was among them. Daniel had the courage to say to the person that was over him as a prisoner, "Let me not eat this stuff that you're trying to feed us." Don't you wish our young people had the strength of character to say, "I'm just not going to eat this stuff that they're feeding me on TV, that they're feeding me in the movies, that they're feeding me in my science classes at school. I'm just not going to eat it." And so that's what they said. And they proved themselves. And so there was Daniel. And the Bible says there, that verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king?" The people of this United States are as smart as any nation, but none of them have an answer. They don't have an answer to being overweight. They don't have an answer to cancer. They don't have an answer to a depression. They don't have an answer to how to build the jobs in this country. They're not very smart. They don't have that. God has the answer. And so this is what Daniel is saying. God is the one that has the answer. And then in Daniel 4, and I'm hurrying to get a little bit in, and verse 31, Daniel writes this, "While the word was in the king's mouth, Nebuchadnezzar walking through the great gardens of Babylon, eighth wonder of the world." He had built them for one of his wives. He had transported mountains down there. And so he'd built them. And he's walking through there and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I've made for my glory and my honor?" And he was king of all the world, undisputed leader of the whole world. And the Bible says that while the word was in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." And then he said, "They're going to drive you out among the beasts, and you're going to eat grass like the cattle." And it happened, and history bears that it happened. God ruleth until you know. And you people think about this, and I'm not trying to preach against your voting, but I'm just telling you, think about it. The matter is by the decree, this is 4:17, and the demand of the word by the holy ones, to the intent that the living, that's all of us, may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Now, that's been worrying me ever since I was 16, and I still worry about that and read about that and study about that. And so I know God is in control. And I'm glad God's in control. And I wish I had time to say more about that. And then we come to Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied at the very end of the kingdom of Israel and was probably carried off into Egypt and did not die in that, but we don't know for sure. But in Jeremiah 7, I want to read to you verse 28. Jeremiah 7, verse 28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, that receiveth not correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Now, brethren, if you took out the members of the Lord's church, you could throw all the denominational world and all the business world and all the educational world. I'm talking about speaking without there be remnants here and yonder. And it would be true of them. They obey not the voice of God. They receive not correction. And truth is perished and cut off from their mouth. Brethren, I believe that we ought to pray diligently for this nation. I ain't got time to say much about that. Want you to be intrigued to look about it. And then Jeremiah 31 through 34, you will recognize. In the midst of all this disaster, God makes a bright promise. "Behold, the days come," this is 31, "saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Now this was said as if it was physical Israel, but it was not physical Israel. It was spiritual Israel. How do you know? All you got to do is turn to Hebrews 8 and start reading the verse 6. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. He quotes the very same thing. When Hebrews 8 was written, and I put the date, AD 68 was written, Israel was no more. But this was talking about the church. And so here it is, back right here in Jeremiah. "Behold, the days come, not according to the covenant I made with the fathers in the day that took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." That was the law of Moses, you know that. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make them after those days. I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then he says down there, I will teach no more. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. That means they don't stop teaching. It means that they already know before they get into the kingdom, and they don't have to teach each other. You should not have to teach another member of the church what the plan of the salvation is. Should you? You should not have to teach another member of the church what the five items of worship is. Now, I won't go further than that. You might not be able to say, but how in the world could you have obeyed the gospel and got in the church and come to worship one Lord's Day and not sinned all over the hill if it wasn't true? And so here we are, and that's what that says. Now, go with me, Hosea. This is not going to work, but I'm going to do the best I can. Hosea. Hosea, and I want chapter 2, and I want verses 5, 7, and 15. Hosea chapter 2. Hosea was 785 years before Christ. And chapter 2, 5 reads thusly. For their mother. Now, he went down and married this person. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them that hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. The American women are running after people with money. They're not worried about their husbands. I'm talking about a big bunch of them. They're running after people with money. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns. I will make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better than with me than it is now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. I wish you read it all. But isn't that amazing, coming from the mouth of Hosea? And verse 15, it says this. And if you're a Bible student, you catch on to this. If you're not, you won't. You'd have to be a pretty deep Bible student to catch on to Hosea 2:15. And I will give her her vineyards from thence in the valley of Anchor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. What in the world is the valley of Anchor? If you know about this beforehand, make up your mind right now and afterwards tell me. Do you know what the Valley of Anchor is? If you go back, and I think I put a hint on here, don't know. He didn't get to this. Joshua 7:26 is where it's found. Joshua 7:26. You remember when Achan stole that stuff? You remember when they killed him and stoned him and all his family? That was in the Valley of Anchor. A door of hope. Why? Because Israel was ridding itself of sin. That's why. Well, let's go to Joel. And I'm just going to mention, I know you know Joel 2:28-32. And this is 800 B.C. And the reason you do, it is a direct prophecy that we know was fulfilled. And Peter says, when they were explaining what had happened to the apostles, this is that, and that goes back to Joel 2:28, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. God promised that he would do that, and he did it. Isn't that wonderful? Way back there, 800 years before Christ. And then we come to Amos. And Amos was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. I always admired Amos because I never did like to get my feet off the ground. When we built our house at home, Brother Beekman Woodman, about 60 at that time, and he was a house builder. And the walls were up higher than that. And he expected me to grab a 2x6 or 2x8, a 2x6, and run that wall like he did the other wall. Now, I tell you, I don't know how some of these older folks who used to build houses did it, but Brother Speakman could trot down that one thing, holding that thing, and expected me to keep up holding the other side. I said, this ain't going to work. Ain't no way I can stay on that wall. Joel was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. He climbed way up there. And the Bible says he was no prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But God said, go, and he went. I want to read a little bit from Joel 5:10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. That's talking about preachers and prophets. Now, I'm skipping to 12. For I know your manifold transgressions, your mighty sins. They afflict the judge. They take a bribe. They turn aside the poor and the gate from their right. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. In other words, righteous people are afraid to speak. Here's what he says do. Seek the good and not evil that you may live. So the Lord, the God of the host, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil. Love the good. Establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. And so I don't have time to read any more of that, but I wish I did. And so I'll go then to Zephaniah. That's the one that I really planned on speaking of. And I want to give you just a brief outline on Zephaniah, what it was. In Zephaniah, the first chapter, verses 4 through 6, Zephaniah said, I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the cherubims with the priests, that was the fortune teller, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetop, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, and also swear by Malcolm. They swore by both gods. For they are turned their back from the Lord, and those they have not sought the Lord, nor inquired of them. Hold thy peace. And then he says, verse 6, I will punish the princes, the king's children, and all such that are clothed with strange apparel. And then it goes on to talk. I wish I had time to read it. Verse 12. And it shall come to pass that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish them that are settled on their leaves. They had found a comfortable life and they'd settled down. The Lord will not do good, they say, neither will he do evil. Verse 14. There is a great day of the Lord near. Isn't that true of us? It is near and hastened greatly. Verse 15. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, and the day of the trumpet and alarm. That's Jesus coming back. And so I wish I could read a lot more of that. And then, of course, Zephaniah then, and I did want you to notice verse 2 in chapter 2. Gather yourselves together. You gather together, O nation, not desired. God said to Israel, nobody wants you anymore. You're not desired. The United States has been the loving nation of all the world. Oh, they wanted us. They loved to have us. If you know your history, you know that's true. They invited us in with open arms. I could go back to history and give you account of account of account that they did. When the American people invaded the English and run them out of the Isles, the people actually fell down and worshiped the soldiers that went in there. They wouldn't let them, but they did. When they liberated Germany, you've seen the pictures. They wanted them. We're not wanted anymore. You may not be aware of it, but we're not wanted anymore. They're killing our representatives. They're burning our embassies. 20 countries in this world have destroyed the embassies of the United States. You ain't heard about it. You know why? The press is on the take. You ain't heard about it. If it happened during another, and I'm not telling you to vote, but it happened during another administration, it had been headlines on every paper in the United States. The Bible tells us that was coming. And so there it is. Gather yourselves together, O nation that is not desired. Then I want to briefly, and I hadn't got but just a minute to bring down to you the warnings to the church. Churches tend to follow nations, the nations that they are in. If you're not careful when the church is established, if the nation is going in a certain way, it will have a great effect upon it. A.D. 59, Paul speaking to the elders of the church, take heed to yourselves, and over all the flock of which the Holy Ghost shall make you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood. For after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to bring people after them. And so he went on and talked about it. And it was, the church was going to have a difficult time. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. That means they'll leave the New Testament faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits. We've got that. Oh, I get so tired of flipping on that television and seeing them people claim to do things with the Holy Spirit. And doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, they want the money. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry. Catholic Church still does that. Commanded to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. I was at a singing today, and they had a missionary there, and he's truthful. So, but I will tell you this so you remember, maybe remember this reference. He's truthful, but he's from, I've forgotten where, but he's a foreigner, and he's really he's with one of my brother-in-laws, and he's going back, of course. But he is on a vegetable diet. They've taken him off all meat. Doctor has. I was kidding him about it, and I wanted to give him this scripture, but I didn't know him too well, and we couldn't understand what wasn't his language real clearly, so I thought better of it. But I had thought of this passage of scripture. But anyway, the Bible says you can eat anything now you won't eat if you can give thanks for it. Now you can't give thanks for a rat and a snake. Do you only keep naming them what you can't give thanks for? But if you can be thankful, that means if that tells you that's good to eat, if you've got any sense at all, you know what's good to eat. Now, if you're a child, you don't know what's good to eat. My children all the time pick up buttons, try to eat them. They'll even try to eat a penny. I have to watch them. I don't want to lose money that way. They just do that kind of stuff. And so here it is. So we read about that. And then we go to 2 Timothy 4. Paul is on his deathbed, so to speak, though he probably lived maybe another year. But he thought he was there because the time had been set, no doubt, for him to be offered for the killing him. And that's what he means, I believe, in this passage. And he said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. Now, if that's not this time, I don't understand nothing. You're sure it's happened other times. For they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll hire themselves preachers. And they shall turn themselves away from the truth and turn into fables. That's stories. Preaching has become stories instead of Bible. But watch thou in all things. Wake up. That's us. Endure affliction. Don't expect everything to be lovely. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now, Paul tells him the absolute truth. He expects him to go ahead and do it in spite of this truth. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I believe that that means that they'd set the date to execute him. It's probably reported, nobody really knows, that he was loosed and was killed a couple of years or maybe a year later. Now we look at this. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations shall forget God. We know that that's true of the kingdoms of religion that don't have the truth. How many of the denominations will be destroyed and be lost in a devil's hell. The Bible tells it very plainly. Every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's clear teaching of all denominations that were not started by Jesus Christ in His Word. You're the only people in all the world that you, probably in this community and several others, that you could preach that to without getting a ruckus going on. It ought to be preached in love to everybody living. If the Lord didn't start the religion that you're a part of, it's going to be rooted up and burned. As Brother Keeple used to say, if you don't believe it, just wait till rooting time. And you will believe it. Isn't it a great privilege to be a member of the Lord's church? He died for that. It's His blood. I didn't build it. I didn't do anything for it. I just obeyed the gospel, and by His grace, I was given a place in it and forgiveness of my sins. Now my prayers are heard if I do them rightly. My worship is accepted. My children are trained in the truth. And my hope is in heaven. It's called the kingdom of heaven. Then cometh the end when He shall deliver up the kingdom to God. Let's do all we can to pass the truth on to our family and our friends and the next generation. It all begins by us making the best support we can to the church of our Lord here and holding to the Word of God. If you have left it in any way, if you can straighten it up privately, do so. If you want to straighten it up publicly, do that. And ask for the prayers. Hey, we need each other's prayer. We need help to make it. I know I do. We need help to make it. If you're not a Christian, let this be the time you become one. The baptistry is filled. Clothing is prepared. Only takes a few minutes. Confess Jesus' name. Turn away from all your sin. And be baptized by burial and water. And the Lord's blood will wash away your sins. What a wonderful opportunity. If you need to, take advantage while together we stand and while we sing.